not going to stay up on Sunday night to watch your game. Like, I'm just not. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it needs to be in the afternoon. You need to find a spot, and the XFL is doing this. They're doing the games will be consistently on the same time and at the same place. So you know that you can watch the first game on Fox Sports 1 and the second game on ESPN. They've already got those television partnerships down and a window for which their games to play in. With the AAF, it was so haphazard. It's like, okay, I'm trying to find your league. Wait, what do you mean this game's on the NFL network at 8 o'clock Sunday night? I'm like,
such a simple tenet of broadcasting. Put it on the same spot at the same bat time, same bat channel, but it's not that simple, especially when there's so many different places to watch everything. We went through this with the NCAA tournament. I mean, we still go through this with the NCAA.
Every year you're looking for True TV.
True TV and whatever the hell else it's on, and you find it eventually because you actually want to watch it. When you're trying to experiment with new sports and just kind of dip your toe in the water, I spent about 9 seconds looking for whatever channel you're on, and if I can't find it by the 10th, I'm out. I'm good.
You know what? I couldn't even find it on my C button on Comcast. You know how you...
I know that button.
Like,
yeah.
I couldn't even... I'm like, okay, well, I'll check the C button, and then it'll be everywhere, and I couldn't. So the whole story to me is a really cool, like, fascinating sports story, and there's some heartbreak in it because you had guys, like, getting fired... And Connor Orr writes in here that there were guys who left practice, went back to the hotel, and the hotel was like, yo, y'all owe us some money. Oof. And you need to get out of here now. And so you had guys that had put their cards down, and because the hotel couldn't get the money from the league, they ran the cards.
Oh, I've been through this. I've lived this in folding minor leagues and folding minor league teams. It is amazing. Like when I worked for the Rockford Lightning, when Rick Holtzman owned the team and he would routinely not pay bills, we went out and sold all the ads in the game program and he never printed one. I mean, it's just outright absolute theft, fraud,
yeah,
theft.
Yes, that's what that
and
is.
Then we'd get our paychecks and would literally sprint through downtown Rockford, sprint to the bank because if you weren't the first, second, or third person to cash a check, you didn't get paid. And that was my second experience. The first experience was with the Raleigh Bullfrogs when the owner got thrown in jail on the last day of the season for tax evasion. I mean, literally, he's like they pick him up and they throw him in jail. Like, well, there isn't going to be a team anymore, and the team's going away. We don't exist anymore. And I said, well, you owe me $2,000. Which is a lot of money. It was 2 months worth of pay. And I don't have any money. Assets got frozen. There are no assets. There's nothing. I said, well, I'm going to tell you this, Larry. I have all of the broadcast equipment in my car. And this was the whole thing. This is the console. We bought everything new. And it was the tape decks and the headsets and all the microphones. And I said, I'm leaving. And I took all of it. I took all of the radio equipment in my car that we had bought for the team. I'm like, it's mine now. You're not going to pay me? Tail lights.
I literally
drove home. And then when the Rockford Lightning gig came open with the general manager, Jeff Reeser, at the time, goes, yeah, I got to tell you, our equipment isn't the greatest. It's not really
guess what?
State of the art for the CBA. And I
as
said,
it happens.
I said, come out to the car.
I got something to show
you. Yeah, I'll show you something.
I said, you hire me, you essentially are getting a production company. And he's like, all right, you're good.
You're hired. Yep. The answer is always
true,
yes.
True story.
Yep. And Texas says they couldn't even find stats or a box score. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of that. I mean, we'll go through it, but it's really good, and I'm looking forward to talking with him. Dan Pompey is also going to be on the show.
Oh, cool.
He's doing the 100-year retrospective book on
awesome.
The Bears with Don Bleepin' Pearson.
Cool.
Man.
That's what he likes to be called, too.
You talk about football gray matter. Between those two dudes. So I'm talking with Dan today at once. We've got a fun show. We're going to talk about Sonya Curry and all sorts of other stuff.
Nice.
On the show today. Thank you, gentlemen. That is Bernstein and McKnight. You can hear them every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. until noon. We are Sports Radio 670, The Score, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, a radio.com sports station. The top of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves have advanced to the Western Conference Finals versus San Diego. Catch game 1 tonight or game 2 tomorrow at 7 at Allstate Arena. Tickets start at just $15. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for playoff and ticket information. And if that wasn't enough for you, the hour is also being brought to you by Continental Motors. Searching for a used car, search ContinentalMotors.com for the Continental Difference. Hey, Tony, it's Friday! Let's go!
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
So, Bob, wait. Yeah. So you're actively rooting against the Blues?
Oh, absolutely. Anybody but the Blues win the playoffs, and I'd be fine.
I love it. They did get screwed last night. Blues got screwed. No,
the Blues screwed themselves.
Think anyone got the Blues got screwed reference? I think so. I think a lot of people. I think that there's a lot. You probably didn't get it, Tony. It's okay.
Like the musical genre?
No, I'm speaking to my base there.
He knows Blues Clues, and that's about it.
Blues Clues was great.
A great show.
I used to like it when Blue would talk. It was adorable.
Make me a bicycle clown.
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. We have a lot of stuff that we need to get to in today's show. As I told Dan and Connor, Dan Pompey is going to join. That's weird. I've talked with Dan and Connor. I'm going to have two guests on my show today that are named Dan and Connor. It's weird. It's really strange. I just made that realization.
Oh, that's super producing on the show.
That is super producing by you, Tony Gill, the executive producer of the show. Rick Camp is here as well on our production team. You'll hear from both of those guys throughout the afternoon. Thank you so much for being with us here on a Friday. We do appreciate your support. We've got a lot to get to, so we're going to get to it right now. We start the show as we start all things with a rundown.
Run them down.
The Rundown.
The Rundown is essentially stories that we want to make sure that you didn't lose sight of and things that we are going to be talking about throughout the afternoon. We will start, believe it or not, in the NHL.
Let's do that hockey,
Tony, because the Bruins had a very easy time sweeping the Hurricanes.
Tuukka Rask has a shutout. 4-0 the score. 4-0 the sweep by his team. And Zdeno Chara, though injured, is in uniform and comes out for the celebration.
The owner of the Hurricanes will come up in conversation a little bit later on in today's show. And now someone has to stop the Bruins because you've got a Boston Super Bowl winner, Boston World Series winner. Can't let them have the NHL too, can we? Luckily, basketball took care of business. Speaking of the NBA, last night was a lot of fun. I don't know if you stayed up for the game between Portland and Golden State, but it was the way that the Warriors came out and just collapsed that 17-point lead on Portland was amazing.
Will Iguodala foul Lillard? Almost stolen. Lillard stolen by Iguodala. Took it out of his hands. Curry from the half court. It's out. It's over. Golden State survives and wins game two.
Steve Kerr said that the Warriors stole that game from Portland. And he's right. Portland missed an opportunity last night. Kevin Durant is back haunting the hallways like the Phantom of the Opera because he is not in uniform and he might not make it back for this series.
You know, hopefully he continues to progress, and he has made progress, but you know, it's a little more serious than we thought at the very beginning, and so we'll see where it all goes. But he's in there all day long getting treatment. He's done a great job of committing himself to that process. Rick and his staff are in there all day, and hopefully he'll be back at some point, but we'll just wait and see.
KD did offer this, though. He said as Andre Iguodala came off the court last night that Portland doesn't want to go to the finals. And judging by the way that they played in the second half, it's hard to argue with him. Now to baseball. Over on the South Side, Ryan Cordell was a major player in the White Sox win over Toronto.
Ryan up the middle, and Galvis snares it. Safe at second base. The throw got away, and Cordell does drive in the second Sox run. 2-1 on a smash up the middle.
And then the White Sox were like, how about we ask Ryan Cordell to squeeze?
First and third, one out. Will the bunt still be on? The answer is yes. Cordell lays it down to throw. The play is not in time. And safe at first base. Close play at the dish. Not close enough. 3-2. Sox in the eighth.
The White Sox would go on to win that game 4-2. Now 17-14 in their last 31 games. Yomer Sanchez with a great slide to get in on the suicide squeeze. Quiet as is kept, Alex Colome, real good. Closing out games when he gets the opportunity, he picks up his ninth save for the White Sox last night. In Cincinnati, things did not go as well for the Cubs. Jose Quintana wasn't terrible, but he was particularly wild in really bad spots yesterday.
Here comes the 1-2. Outside, gets by the catcher, Contreras. Both runners advance. So Castillo moves to third, Votto to second. 2-2 the count now to Eugenio Suarez. Quintana is ready. The pitch. This one gets by Contreras. Trying to come home is Castillo. The throw gets by Quintana, and the run scores. The Reds tie the game up at 2. Oh, wow.
Yeah, the Reds had a 3-run fifth inning, which was pretty much the doom of the Cubs.
Quintana is ready. Here's the pitch. This one is line base hit down the left field line. Reds take the lead 3-2 on the RBI single by Suarez.
And then there was a lengthy rain delay. You had to wait until, 9:05 or so for that game to start. Joe Maddon, after the game was over, said it was a little bit weird situation.
Such an awkward inning. I mean, the home run in the opposite field, and then the pitcher gets a double, and the wild pitches. And then just really, we made a poor selection on Suarez, on that base hit. So just a weird inning. I mean, we just... we took advantage of the third base bag to score a couple runs, so I can't really complain. But that inning gets away, then we have to sit around for a bit, and they pitch well, and then they got us. I mean, we just could not mount an attack.
So the Cubs lose, and they lose their first series in the last 6 weeks. And they have got quite the task in front of them this upcoming weekend against the Washington Nationals. If you were wondering, these are the three pitchers that the Cubs are going to face: Scherzer, Arrieta, Strasburg. So that's who they're facing. Now, there's some interesting news on this. I ran across this. Remember how yesterday we were having a conversation about Yu Darvish and how I said, I kind of root for Yu Darvish and I want him to. I ran across this quote this morning in The Athletic, Patrick Mooney's piece. He talked with Darvish about facing Jake Arrieta this weekend. And here's what Darvish said about facing Jake. I need a really good start. But I need a really good start at Wrigley at some point. That's what I want. I need a quality start for sure, but I really just want to see his stuff, the sinker and cutter, because he's nasty. Top five in MLB. That means I can study his stuff. I'm looking forward to seeing his stuff. Well, at least Darvish is excited about his next opportunity that he has against someone who I'm sure is looking forward to pitching against the Cubs. And it's just fun. Whether it's him facing Jake Arrieta or him facing or the Cubs facing Max Scherzer, which I'm really looking forward to. It's going to be fun. Nationals, Phillies, you got a lot of stuff that's happening for them. So I just wanted to share. I thought it was kind of a cool quote from Darvish that he is getting excited about things. And that's cool. That's a really good way to look at it. So thank you very much. I appreciate the rundown today for May. What is today's date, Tony? I'm out of sync. May 17th. I'm so thrown off by the weather. It's so out here. Did I say, I'm sorry, Scherzer, Strasburg, Helixson next. And then the next start, that's what I was saying, is the Phillies. The next start at Wrigley will be against Jake Arrieta. That's what I tried to combine there. May 17th doesn't feel like May.
It hasn't felt like May since May got here.
No, it felt like May yesterday.
A little bit.
During the day?
A little bit.
Outside
of the rain.
I was wearing shorts yesterday.
It rains in May.
No, it's only supposed to rain in April.
April showers.
Yes. On, Rick. Yes, Tony. First day, campy.
Oh, no, I was going literally, it does rain in May. To be fair, Tony hasn't been around that long, so Tony might actually think that it doesn't rain in May.
No, I mean, it's just been, can we get a couple back-to-backers? Like, that's right. That's what I'd like. Like, we had, was it Wednesday? Was it Wednesday where it was super nice? And you're like, okay, you know, can we get a streak going? Can we get a little bit of a streak of nice days?
The weather's been airy, it's been Darvish.
No, that's actually not a terrible comp.
Last night was what, the two innings, like 10 runs? Because I guess out west they were getting like golf ball to tennis ball size hail.
Yeah, and you're getting tornadoes. You're getting tornadoes that were close to touching down out in the western suburbs. You couldn't even see.
Yeah, Wednesday was his last start. And then like yesterday was like his normal length of time when he's pitching, where he's out in the fourth.
Well, a lot of people at Cubs thought that his last start was his best one of the season. So I think you're right, Tony. Just say like a couple days of sunshine. I don't even need high temperatures.
And now tomorrow it's going to be like 81.
It is, right? Isn't that what is expected?
I think so.
Yeah, because Mel was like, we're doing some weeding, meaning like we're going to be out in the garden getting rid of the weeds that are trying to attack our plants.
That's what they're calling it now?
Well, not the thing that you young folks are doing.
Oh, it's not just the young folks.
No, it's not. I mean, I do have Crohn's disease, so I could get a card. But I've never smoked, so. But, you know, get edibles or whatever. All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, I think that this story is one of the most interesting stories this year in sports. And I understand that I'm getting ready to have a conversation about minor league football. I want you to know that there is a gambling component that I find really intriguing, a technological advance that might find its way to you on the weekends through this. And also, it was just a crushing story. So I wanted to invite the author of the story about the demise of the AAF on. Trust me, you're going to be interested in what he has to say. We're going to do that next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes here. Check out my podcast, Lo Ho Daily. I record it every day. It's me doing stuff that I can't get to on the show. Sports stuff, geek stuff, whatever's on my mind that day.
And I'm glad that the Bears are out here trying to make these kickers earn their jobs.
Check out Lo Ho Daily. Download the latest episode now from the radio.com app or online at 670thescore.com.
This is John Feinstein with the CBS Sports Minute. If a Preakness Stakes is run on the third Saturday in May and no one is watching, did it really happen? The answer, of course, is yes, and there will be a horse wearing black-eyed Susans at about 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Here's the problem. It won't be either winner of the Kentucky Derby, the horse that finished first or the horse that was placed first by those fun folks from the Kentucky Racing Commission. This will be the first time in 23 years that the Derby winner, in fact, none of the top three in the Derby, will compete in Baltimore. Maximum Security, who finished first at Churchill Downs, is being held out, largely because owner Gary West figured, why bother? The horse does have a minor injury if there's no Triple Crown. Country House, the official winner, has a cough, which means all of horse racing has a high fever. What a shame. The Preakness is a wonderful event. It deserves better than this. I'm John Feinstein.
CBS Sports Radio. Looking for something to do this Memorial Day weekend? Head to downtown St. Charles for the 21st anniversary of the Fine Arts Show. This award-winning show features painting, sculpture, photography, glass, and jewelry, all of which draws thousands of visitors to downtown St. Charles. The show will also include live musical entertainment, art activities for all ages, and the Paint the Pavement Chalk Art Festival. The Fine Arts Show runs Saturday, May 25th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday, May 26th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. along Riverside Drive. The show's free, rain or shine, with free parking.
This is Bruce Lammers, president of Byline Small Business Capital. We pride ourselves on providing creative solutions to finance small businesses. I'm here with Paul Sharfman of Specialty Cheese Company talking about the benefits of government-guaranteed lending. We help Paul.